Get ready, maniacs, for the 5th annual 24-hour B-Movie Marathon. 16 of the best B-Movies, 24 hours in a row. The marathon kicks off Friday night, June 30th at 8 p.m. Central Time. And now, here's Jason Hulse with one of his marathon picks.
My first movie pick shows you can't keep a good cop dead. I chose Dead Heat. Treat Williams and Joe Piscopo deliver the ultimate buddy movie, and it's one of my all-time favorites. There are undead chicken wings. You don't want to miss undead chicken wings, right?
Someone has brought back the deadliest criminals in the city.
Remember the good old days when guns killed people?
But someone else just brought back the most dangerous cop.
Good, and you're dead.
Treat Williams, Joe Piscopo, Dead Heat. You can't keep a good cop dead. Rated R.
The 5th annual 24-hour B-Movie Marathon. Live, Friday, June 30th, 2017, 8 p.m. Central. To watch and interact with the B-Movie crew, go to www.bmoviemarathon.com.
Do you long for the days when movies were about small towns that forbid just the most common human act, where the parents of a town would fight against the evil, evil thing of maybe dancing? Well, this is perfect, because this movie tonight is called Joysticks, and someone in this town hates video games. And here's one thing I can tell you about this upcoming episode is, it's a totally awesome B-Movie Mania!
That went exactly how I hoped it would.
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania. And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, and nerds and nerdettes, and anything else, welcome to this week's B-Movie Mania, the podcast where we watch B-movies and love the shit out of them. I'm your current rotating head host, Michael P.S. Hayes, and with me as always is the B-Mania crew, the B-Maniacs, the B-Monsters, the Maniacs of Mayhem. It's number one, Christopher Hudson.
Hey, the name is King Chris Hudson.
I think it's Crazy Chris Hudson, if I remember Uncle Lloydy.
Oh, well, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. That and who too. Did I hear over there? Who is agreeing with correction? That's number two.
Oh, that's Paul Brooks. And speaking of number two, let's just get this out of the way.
Oh, my God, yeah. Polly.
Is that a Paul Brooks maneuver I hear?
I just went to Wendy's.
Yeah, that's... Oh. And then who is that was disgusted at the end there? Number three.
I'm Jason Hulls. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a cool nickname, Jason?
A cool nickname?
Yeah.
Just Jay.
I thought Jay was his nickname.
No, that's his birth name. He was born with a single letter.
Jason Hulls is my nickname.
No, oh, okay. It's all one word, right?
Right.
Well, hell, why don't we just get a real quick take before we get into what this is?
Quick takes!
Quick takes!
Quick takes!
Oh, Jesus. Well, Jay, what was your initial quick take on this?
I don't know if I'm the guy to kick this off. What I found to be most interesting is that it's... The actors, the two main guys, one guy is named Leaf Green, and the other guy is named Jim Green Leaf.
Yeah, that was what? Pretty. Yeah, it was pretty great.
Yeah.
The two main guys, Leaf Green and Jim Greenleaf.
Cool.
Yeah. Weird. Anyway, I thought the plot was a little thin. It's supposed to be fun, light sex comedy. Okay, it was fine. My favorite, hands down, was The Vidiots. You're going to want to watch this if you want to see.
The Vidiots are amazing.
King Vidiot, absolutely my favorite.
All right, Paul?
Well, listen, I just want to say thank you, Michael, because my love for Mr. Joe Don Baker knows absolutely no bounds. And I had never heard of this movie before. So when you told us on the last episode that we would be watching Joysticks, I was a pretty happy camper.
How about you, Hudson?
Oh, God. You know, I know I tried not to say anything to you guys ahead of time, but I have to say I loved this movie. Mainly on the back of the Vidiots. They were so amazing. Everything they did, every time they were on screen, was just a joy.
Yeah, they were amazing. The reason I picked this movie is because I was stumbling through the classic Amazon wormhole I like to go, which, you know, like you find a bad movie and then you click on what customers also watched and you can just go down a rabbit hole
and find some real good
stuff. Yeah. And I stumbled upon this Joysticks thing and the cover looked fun. I saw Graydon Clark, the director, on there and I went, shit, what is this?
I think probably half the movies we end up picking are from going down that rabbit hole.
It's the best thing ever. But like once I clicked on that and started doing a slight bit of research to see what this movie was, to see if it was worthy, and that fucking theme song clicked in.
Oh my God. Like, yes. We are on a really good run of movies with great soundtracks.
This soundtrack has been re-released even, and the movie is obscure as fuck, but they've re-released the soundtrack.
You know what, Jay? If you're the one who's editing this, or me or whoever, dude, like, just do it. Put in, like, a good 45-second chunk of that theme song right now. Just kick it.
Keen eyes, quick hands, energize my soul again. Gonna see my name in lights.
Playing with my joystick. Wiggle left, jerk it right. Sucking everything inside. Shoot fast, shoot straight. Video to the max. One down, two to go. Can't stop, on a roll. Video.
Joystick.
I need a record. Video.
Joystick.
Please let me have a corner.
Video.
Joystick.
I got to have a corner.
Totally awesome video games.
Or we can just all sing it together right now.
Joysticks.
I gotta have a quarter.
Totally awesome video games.
I gotta have a quarter.
Joysticks.
Please give me a quarter.
It'll get stuck in your head.
Video to the max.
I was doing a little bit of research on this movie. I don't know if you guys know this. You know, it's called Joysticks because it's about a video arcade. But I found out that it's actually like a play on words with like penises.
Wait, what?
What?
You get it?
Where did you... What are your sources, Paul?
Yeah, tell us what your research sources are, please.
Personal experience.
Mm. I get it.
You get it, right?
No, but Paul, my question is your button on the top, or is it on like the trigger, or on the side?
My button is sort of that, you know, just like on the kind of underneath, I guess, where it gets a little, you know, like it's seen a lot of use, and so it's...
You know, I used to live with Paul, and I can tell you, I've seen it. He's a button masher.
When did you live with me? That's. I don't think you ever lived with me.
I absolutely lived with you.
Okay.
I always picture it like Paul at like those giant joysticks at the end of this movie. That's Paul, like...
Joysticks! God, all right. Big Giant Knob is where we end the Paul masturbation section. Or Mike's boner movie mania, or whatever it was called, section. That's what that was. Okay, guys, so basically this movie is, what, Footloose? Except with a video arcade, right? I mean, sort of.
Pretty much.
I've never actually seen Footloose. Is that... Don't spoil it for me.
It's fine. It's about a small town where dancing's not allowed.
Did it have a completely oblivious 1980s style nerd in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I swear that dude ejaculated like 8 times in the beginning of the movie.
God. You should see a picture of that guy now. That's Leif Green. He is a jacked older man now.
They kind of had him made up to look like a nerd, but it's the stereotypical thing where, oh, he's wearing like thick rimmed glasses and a sweater, so he's a nerd. But if you get a look at his like face and physique, He yeah. looks like a pretty normal guy.
Well, when you take a peek at his Simba, you're like, well, this guy's pretty, pretty.
You do
pretty
get, hefty. I mean, he tries to show you his Simba pretty early on in the movie.
Yeah, like 2 minutes in, right? After the theme song.
But that's still, I mean, okay, so the theme song is like a minute and a half or 2 minutes long, right? And then within seconds, he does try to show you his Simba. But even before that, you've got two pairs of breasts just already on the screen.
Oh, hells yeah.
God.
This thing is not hiding the breasts in this movie.
No, they are all over the place.
Oh, God.
They are literally in your face. Well,
yeah, I think they were trying to... These girls pulled up next to Eugene as he's driving to the arcade on his first day at work, and they, like, want to entice him into getting into their car and taking his pants off.
Yeah, right? They're trying to trick this dweeb, yeah.
Yeah, they want him to get into the car, and they show him their boobs, so he'll get in the car, but really, it's also they can get into a sorority. Like, they just want to...
totally missed that part.
Yeah, well, they never bring it up again. They just want to take a picture of him with his pants off, because that's like their...
Which, to be fair, if you're going to take a picture of Simba in Act 1, you're going to use it by Act 3.
Oh, and they do. Little Simba bookend.
Yep, it's beautiful.
Ladies, prepare yourself. I would like you to meet Simba.
Smile!
Hey! What are you... Don't!
That whole scene with, you know, where he almost unleashes Simba, that whole thing was shot in less than an hour without permits.
Oh, I believe
right
that.
Right out on the street.
Yeah.
I just want to warn the listeners that you don't, I mean, for as many breasts are in this movie, you don't ever actually get to see Simba. So don't go into this movie expecting to see this dude's junk. It's not
going to
happen.
I'm sure everyone will be really disappointed.
Yeah. Well, okay, so right after that scene... It cuts to the arcade, but there's a real special way that it cuts to the arcade. Can any of you tell me how?
Pac-Man!
Pac-Man.
There's a Pac-Man screen wipe they use gratuitously throughout this fucking...
That's one of my top five favorite things about this movie.
Isn't that Eugene?
Hi, guys!
Yeah, Eugene and Dorfus are the two, like, sidekicks for the... weirdly jockey owner of this arcade.
Which I have to say, though, kind of threw me for a loop because I expected like a typical 80s sort of silly where the nerd is going to be picked on for being in the arcade and it was run by a jock and I thought the jock was going to like just beat him down and the nerd will rise up at the end.
Totally not like that.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody gets along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great.
I actually appreciated that aspect of the movie, that everyone's just sort of like in there for their love of video games. It doesn't matter if you're cool or you smell bad or if you're a punk, whatever, you know, everybody's in it together.
Or if you have an unnatural love of hot dogs.
Yes, of course. Also, Jay, if I can mention real quickly, who did you say the... guy's name is, the guy who runs the place?
Jeff Bailey.
He's sort of the preppy looking dude.
Yeah, he's like the manager. He's the lead.
Yeah. Fans of Star Trek 3, of course, will recognize him as the prison guard who Uhura tried to seduce him and then like trapped him in a closet at Phaser Point. Very famous scene from Star Trek 3.
That sounds very scary.
It was terrifying.
Oh. Well, okay, so Eugene basically this movie starts out with the trickery in the beginning, but then Eugene shows up at this arcade, and that's when we're introduced to the environment that is the magical mirrored circus tent that is the inside of this arcade. It's brightly colored. There's mirrors. There's lights flashing everywhere, and it is it's a little wonderland, I think.
It's a happening scene.
Well, and when you meet Jeff Bailey, he's there with the two girls who stole Eugene's pants because they do drive away with his pants.
Yeah,
and then. He shows up and runs in his underwear, and his pants are all wet.
You say underwear, but they look like normal shorts to me.
They were large boxers. Yeah, they were pretty long.
Well, pretty much. Maybe he's a never nude.
This is where we're introduced to our key characters. Jeff Bailey, the proprietor of the arcade. We get to know Eugene by name and all his stuff, this nerd. And we meet the fat slob Dorfus.
He's former class president Dorfus.
Only took him a year to slide down.
Yeah, what got him so out of shape, Chris? Do you remember?
God, video games, right? Was that it?
It was video games. He's
totally awesome video games.
Like Eugene can't Eugene can't imagine that this guy was valedictorian, really, yeah, class president of the last year, and he's just this gross person with like chips
stained
all over his
t-shirts.
Body. And he's just disgusting.
He was a senior class president last year. He didn't look anything like this. What happened?
Games, kid. Video games.
Doesn't he threaten to stab Eugene in like the first time?
Scene
that they meet.
He's got the 80s switchblade.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a 2-inch switchblade that he pops out on him.
Well, you got to be careful. I mean, the thing is, Dorfus, you know, thrives on video games the same way that I thrive on Taco Bell. I mean, it's something that you need, and don't mess with it. Don't take it away from him.
If you try to take Paul's Taco Bell, he will cut you.
That's correct.
Yeah, but I can't blame Dorfus for having that, like, switchblade, like, pulling that switchblade, because at this point in the movie, Eugene's a real buzzkill. Like, you meet him, and he's just like, excuse me, I'm trying to wipe down the screens. Like, people are playing video games, and he's spraying them with Windex. There's a scene, the very beginning, there's a monk who's possessed by a video game that Eugene's like, sprays him with blesses him with Windex. There's a guy that does a really shitty Curly from the Three Stooges impression.
God.
But Eugene definitely progresses into more of a cool dude throughout the game, or the movie.
Thank God for Dorfus.
Practically the next scene, they're friends, though.
Yeah, in the next scene, they're friends. And the next scene jumps to the Eugene and Dorfus behind the food counter where Eugene throws a hot dog in between a woman's breasts.
He just can't get it out.
And she's just like, she's just like,
And he's using the tongs to get it out, and he just shreds the thing, and she just giggles at him. It's a very awkward scene.
I did a little bit of research on that scene, and even though there was a hot dog stuck in there, it's like supposed to be like a double meaning of like a penis kind of like stuck in there as well.
Really?
Paul, what are your sources?
Yeah, what's your sources?
Sexualinnuendo.com. I don't know.
Is that why Eugene maybe had so much trouble getting the hot dog out from between her breasts?
That's a really good foreshadowing of his inability to have sex. Because
foreskin shadowing.
Yeah, foreskin.
Wow.
God damn it.
Yeah. We can...
All right, moving on from that bit. Jesus.
Jodan Baker.
Okay, before him, we meet another important character, which is Jodan Baker's daughter.
Patsy.
Right. Oh, Jesus Christ.
For $50, who's going to do the impression?
Totally. I want to go to the arcade.
Valley Girl.
It's like, the most terrible Valley Girl impression I've ever heard.
Chelsea, come over here and play Galactic with me. I just thought it'd be like way totally bitchin' if you would like play with me.
She calls, what is she called, Jeff? Joff? Joff, are you okay, Joff?
Joff?
Like, I get what they were going for, but I don't think that this print of joysticks was very good. First of all, I think the aspect ratio was weird. It felt like it was shot like in a regular widescreen aspect ratio, but we were watching it in 4:3 and some stuff was cut off. But also the audio, was a little rough, and so whenever she tried to say anything, I couldn't understand jack shit of what she was trying to say.
One sentence ago, Paul was like, yeah, the hot dog in those boobs was like was sexually new. And then he's going off about film ratio and audio mixing. I love it.
Listen, I have recently gotten really into like Blu-ray releases of like cult classic films and like restoring the print and, you know, redoing everything and putting extras on the Blu-ray. And so to see something like this, I feel like maybe a company needs to put it out there again and restore it.
There is a 30th anniversary release, a DVD. I don't think it's a Blu-ray.
Yeah, we need a Blu-ray or maybe a 4K.
That would be great. God.
Get those boobs in high definition.
The budget for this movie was $300,000.
Okay.
And do you guys know what it grossed in theaters?
No.
$3 million.
Okay, they made their money.
Right. Yeah.
But video games were big then, you know? Everyone liked those video games back then.
It's true.
I just wanted to say that I don't know what kind of arcades you guys hung out in, but why the fuck was there a bed in the manager's office?
There's some perks of being the manager of this place.
I guess so.
There's some perky posters about being a manager of this place.
But to answer your question, Chris, I used to hang out at the Tilt.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Jay, what point did you want to bring up?
Well, I just want to bring up the first scene with the Vidiots. The Vidiots show up next.
Oh, yeah.
With Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite in the lead as the king.
Are you kidding me?
The King Vidiot.
That's him?
Yeah, that's Uncle Rico.
Holy shit.
That's right, Napoleon.
He's also Ben Linus's dad from Lost, Roger Workman.
Yes, I knew that, but I did not recognize him with all the punk gear on.
Oh, yeah.
Wild.
He was awesome. Again, they come in and all his like minions start acting like they're in Pac-Man, and they're just like,
"Start game!
Tell the judge to get out the
kicks
and the kicks and the kicks and the kicks."
But like everyone's into it. Like you kind of see them at first, and you're like, "Oh, it's the punk gang. They're gonna cause trouble." No, they're just there to have a good time.
Yeah, that's the thing that really, like, I thought the punks were going to show up and it was going to be, that's the trouble or whatever. But like we said earlier, no, pretty much everybody gets along here. Everybody likes being at the arcade, and it's all good.
It's a good vibe.
Yeah.
Although, I got to say, King Vidiot is a little short-sighted, though, as we'll find out a little bit later.
That's true.
Well, that's true.
But in the beginning, he's almost like a sweet guy. Like,
yeah.
At some point later, there's a party, and he is not invited, and he's almost like sad and offended that he wasn't invited.
And I totally understand that.
I get it.
But what you want to talk about is after Joe Don Baker has showed up and got his daughter back. No, that's when Joe Don Baker shows up to find his daughter.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess. Like, he just knows she's down there and then comes to get her. And he's mad about it.
Yeah, this whole thing was a little confusing to me. And I don't know if I accidentally zoned out or missed something that he was saying, but I couldn't really figure out exactly what his issue was with everything. Is it just that his daughter was at a video arcade?
Yeah, because there was nothing weird going on when he showed up first,
no,
right?
There was. Yeah. There was. If you recall later on, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but in the courtroom drama part of the movie, you'll see that this arcade is full as a den of iniquity. I mean, mud wrestling, dominatrixes with whips, leather everywhere, just breasts bared. In every square inch of this thing.
You may be painting a Joe Don picture right now, I think. Though, okay, so he comes to find her, and this is where we get our first Dorfus maneuver.
First of many.
There were so many Dorfus maneuvers.
Dorfus maneuver! God, just so much farting and loud, wet farting.
Dorfus farts alone will get you pretty buzzed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're playing by...
That's our valedictorian.
If you're playing by those drinking rules, the next scene... Okay, so Joe Don Baker leaves, and then... So the two girls from the beginning are with Jeff, the proprietor, and they're like, what do we do now? And he tells them they all get excited because they're going to go play a specific video game.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You know that new special video game you've been wanting to play? You show me the picture, and we'll go in there right now and play.
Strip video.
You got it.
Strip video. It's like Pac-Man, but stripping.
Yep. But, yeah, it's literally with strippers and cops chasing them, and they have to collect their panties and, like, clothes or something
Not just that, but this is the secret new game that's just in the manager's office, you know? It's not like they need to make any money off this. This is for strip video only.
And it's the two girls from the first scene in the car with Eugene. So it's basically like Graydon Clark found two girls who would show their boobs and said, okay, you're going in every single scene where we need boobage.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like that's something you would do, Paul.
Absolutely. That's why I enjoyed it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so did you guys catch? So it's just a bunch of gratuitous boob jiggling throughout this whole scene.
Yes. Like just full frame.
Did you guys catch the background music?
No.
Shake It Around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Shake It Around is the song. It is just literally about shaking boobs.
But there's actually some really great exposition that happens here as we find out that our proprietor, he doesn't actually play the video games.
That's right. True.
Major plot
point. Yeah.
This major is point, the yes. first and only time that major plot point is subtly whispered at the audience.
But you know what? This scene where Jeff has the girls backstage or whatever, like there's a larger point to that because Dorfus and Eugene sneak up to the roof and they put a fire extinguisher up to the like pipes and stuff, and they blow the fire extinguisher into the office so everybody thinks that there's a fire.
Yeah.
And see, I thought that they were just pranking Jeff, you know, just because it'd be funny. Yeah. But Jeff is actually in on this.
Which is creepy, right?
I thought it was cool of Jeff to help Eugene kind of get his, you know.
Oh, he's constantly trying to get Eugene laid.
Jay, let me make sure I have this right.
Yeah.
You thought it was cool that he helped Dorfus expose two women who unwittingly did not want to be exposed to, what, 30 people in the arcade?
That's true, but they also did steal Eugene's pants in the middle of the street and make him run to work in his underwear.
Right. It was the 80s.
But, guys, at no point do we really know that they had planned this. This, to me, seemed like Jeff saw the smoke coming through and he went, well, let's do it again. And once again, as happens bi-weekly for the last 6 months, women have been scared they were going to die in a fire and ran out topless.
It's very possible.
Dorfus, the way, Mike, I wanted to ask you a question, if you don't mind a little segue here.
Please.
Dorfus, at one point, right around here, I think, you know, he's addicted to food. He's always eating all this gross stuff. And at one point, he puts ketchup on a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, ketchup and cookies.
And he makes
yeah.
Eugene eat it. Well, no, he tricks Eugene into eating it.
No, I think he ate one still, too.
You have another podcast called Ketchup Kitchen Ketchups. And I'm just curious if maybe this is something that you could replicate on the show to kind of see how it tastes.
Yeah, I'll do a crossover episode. Maybe maybe the week before I'll do one to help maybe give this podcast some of that ketchup bump.
Yeah, there you go. How bad could it be? Squirtle of Heinz on that bad boy.
Maybe I can get Jay or Hudson on again to do that. That'd
again?
Be pretty fun. Yeah.
Again.
You know, you both have been on once before. It's about time to get you guys on again. So,
how is Chris not banned from the show by now?
he was a fine guest. He's causing controversy. That's all. Okay, speaking of controversy, guys, Joe Don Baker, for no apparent reason, shows up again to the arcade.
He's constantly going to this arcade. Like, it doesn't matter what time of the day or night it is. He's there.
He is a crusty curmudgeon in this movie. He does not crack a smile the entire time.
It's a whole thing. Either way, he gets the two topless women fall into his arms, and he gets a Polaroid taken of them, and you know that's going to be something that's going to be used later.
Hey, by the way, Mike, I think we should briefly point out for those who don't realize it, Joe Don Baker, of course, B-movie royalty, Mystery Science Theater fans will, of course, know him from two of the most classic Mystery Science Theater episodes, Mitchell, which is my personal favorite, and Final Justice, which is also really, really good. So, I mean, if you're a fan of B-movies, you probably know who Joe Don is.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Chris, how does Mitchell like his vodka?
By the quart.
I would actually argue, Paul, that more importantly, but related to Joe Don Baker, is the director of this film.
This is true.
Graydon Clark is also MST3K royalty, though I don't think they ever mention his name in an episode, but Final Justice is directed by Graydon Clark as well.
And of course, Mike, one of your favorite and my favorite B-movies of all time, Uninvited, is directed by Graydon Clark.
Yep. The man is a saint. He literally, I was watching this movie with my roommate earlier, Seth, and we were wondering about Leaf Green, whatever, that Dorfus. What happened to him? Because his movie credits stopped in like 1986. So Seth is like Googling around trying to find stuff, ends up on Graydon Clark's website, sends Graydon Clark an email.
What?
Hey, whatever happened to Greenleaf? And within half an hour, Graydon Clark responded.
You're shitting me.
Not shitting you. With I'm very sad to inform you, but he passed away about a year ago.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Which is just like, he must have got that on his phone. It pops up, and he's like, shit. I got,
Not again.
All right, anyway, guys, we got to get back to this movie. Joe Don Baker's nephews, guys.
Oh, Max and Arnie.
The two dumbest sidekicks I've ever seen.
Max, we got to look and act like these video game pinball players so we can check out the place and they won't notice it.
Okay.
Max, you got it?
Uh-huh.
You got it?
Yes, it's Maxine.
I'm going to lay you out.
This is where they go in and into the arcade and drag, right? To scope out like what's going on. This I love too, because when they show up and one of the, I think it's, is it Arnie in drag? I don't know. One of them's in drag.
They're both couple and they run in,
they run into the Vidiots outside, and King Vidiot is in love with the one that's in drag.
King Vidiot is so into her.
And then when they go inside, he's so in love, he collapses to the ground holding his crotch. That was the moment I knew I wanted a full King Vidiot movie.
How did you feel, Jay, when they met again, but this time the psychic was not in drag?
That was funny.
That was funny.
That was great.
It was great.
And it was one of those things where it took me a second to get the joke, and so I had like delayed laughter.
Yeah, he pulls him in. He's like, "Do you have a sister?" No, and then throws him away. Like, it's just a real quick question, but it's really good.
By the way, guys, there's a pretty famous video store here in Los Angeles. If you live in the Los Angeles area and you're into cult cinema and that sort of thing, you're probably familiar with it. It's called Vidiots, and so I'm wondering if there's any chance that they took the name from this movie.
Wow,
I bet they did.
Yeah. It's possible. Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, if I may gloss over a thing real quick, we just to help push this along. There's so much in this movie. The sidekicks, like, they show up, they come in and drag, they decide they come up with this really dumb plot that they're gonna steal all the video games from the arcade, right? But Eugene overhears it, so they all come up with an idea to stop them.
And they said they were gonna steal all the video games, and they said they were gonna do it tonight. Jeff, we gotta call the police.
No, not while my grandfather's out of town. I don't want the police to know anything about this, but I got an idea.
Well, they let them steal every single video game in the arcade. They load every single video game onto the truck.
I mean, obviously, that's what you would do. And then, Paul, I mean, I think you know what I'm thinking, but I would also have one of the video game players siphon the gas out of the gas tank of the truck so they can't drive off. I mean, it makes total sense. I don't know what your problem is, Mike.
So they siphon the gas out. The two sidekicks argue about the gas that they put in. They go walk to get gas, and at that point, everyone unloads the truck.
Yeah, but hold on,
games.
Back up a second, because that's major right there. Everyone at the arcade was counting on the fact that both of them would go to the gas station to get a little bit of gas.
Yeah.
The whole thing would have been blown if they hadn't.
So the whole... Their whole plan is convoluted and weird, but Jay, can you tell me about what the fuck the B team was doing?
Oh yeah. I mean, Dorfus and Eugene?
Yeah. What was their part of this plan?
Oh, this was great. They're going to go to Joe Don Baker's house. They're going to break in and look for, like, dirt. That's just the plan.
I would say that's the A team right there.
Yeah, maybe the A team. And so, but here's the thing, it gets weird, is because they put a ladder up, they shimmy into Joe Don Baker's bedroom, and his wife is there sleeping, and Eugene, like, falls into her, and this is where Dorfus just is like, hey, rape her.
Yeah. He is always quick with a rape joke or a suggestion.
He's like, well, you've got to get laid, right? Here you go. And, like, what? No.
The actress who played JDB's wife, Mrs. Rutter, I think her name was Morgan Lofting, she did the voice for the Baroness on G.I. Joe, which, if you're not familiar... was this cartoon character who dressed in a full body leather cat suit and had these, like, you know, dark hair. Like,
Chris, thank you for ruining my image of the Baroness now forever.
Paul, I don't see what the problem is.
Not my cup of tea. Yeah.
Well, okay, so she grabs she's got makeup, you know, not makeup on her face, but like cream, and she's looking all crazy, and she grabs Eugene and totally wants to hump him back. So she just won't let him go.
Who's raping who here? I mean,
good question.
She's like sleep raping Eugene. So yeah.
She thinks it's Joe Don Baker.
Yeah.
She doesn't know it's Eugene.
It's like that bumper sticker that people like to put on their cars when they rescue animals. It says, who rescued who? Who sleep raped who?
God.
So to make matters more intense, Joe Don Baker gets home and comes up into the bedroom while his wife is still just clutching Eugene.
Sleeper.
And Dorfus has to hide. And of course, he farts on his way out the door.
Of course.
But not only does Joe Don Baker come home and take his clothes off and then get into bed with with his wife and Eugene in this, like, the throes of unwanted passion with each other. But, like, he doesn't understand what's happening. It's so much disbelief that has to be suspended. I don't understand how any of this was supposed to be even remotely believable.
And that's what makes this movie so great, because none of it makes any goddamn sense.
Yeah.
Well, and okay, so Dorfus actually comes up with a pretty good plan to get out of this whole thing. He just knocks on the front door and starts trying to talk to Joe Don Baker about anything.
Well, sir, now is the time for safety. In our country today, if you want to get out safely, you better act now. Do you understand?
Hey, what are you crazy? Why are you shouting?
Eugene gets out of bed, finally, and the ladder has fallen. He can't go back out the window, so he looks for another window to crawl out of, and he ends up crawling down the side of the house, but dropping down right in front of the front door in the middle of them talking.
Honestly, that might be my favorite part of the movie. I really, really like Dorfus. Because Dorfus, like, grabs his legs and helps him down, and he, like, changes his conversation to be, like, about Eugene. He's like, and, like, Eugene's here. He's coming from somewhere. He did a thing. Isn't that right, Eugene?
Yeah, and Joe Don Baker's just like, oh, well, oh, yeah, okay, then, all right. Yeah, like, he's not like, what are you doing on my roof? Like, yeah. No.
Why not? Why was he not upset by that?
And, you know, it's like 2 in the morning at this point, right? Like midnight, 2 in the morning? I don't know. It was late at night.
Well, he gets distracted because the lackeys show up with the empty truck at that point. And then Dorfus and actually what I thought was funny also is as Eugene was coming out of, you know, the JDB's room, he runs into Patsy. And then when they're all, you know, when the lackeys show up with the empty truck, Patsy runs away with Dorfus and Eugene.
Yeah.
Back to the arcade, the party at the arcade.
Yeah. It was a private PJ party.
Private PJ party.
It was a private PJ party.
God. I think a rule should also be drink every time. You're like, what the fuck just was said?
Oh, Daddy, that reminds me. Connie and I were, like, going to go shopping at the Bonorama. Could I have some Billy's then?
Pardon?
You know, I think you called it lettuce once, or was a cabbage.
They throw this private party, and, like, I mean, there's no forewarning. They just apparently call everyone at, like, 2:30 in the morning, and everyone shows up to this private pajama party at, like, 3:30 in the goddamn morning.
All of you guys complaining about this 3:30 private PJ party at the arcade is... you have a problem with this? I mean,
no.
This stuff happened with the 80s. This stuff always happened in the 80s.
Did this happen at Tilt, Chris, when you were...
Yeah, every time I was there at 4 in the morning, it was girls everywhere. I mean, even Joe Don Baker showed up a couple times.
Cool.
This is my problem with the whole thing, this scene. Not that they had the party, because, I mean, it was pretty much for everybody who helped... like move the arcade games back in.
Oh yeah, they were all still there. That's why they were.
Yeah, that was the thing. But what I had a problem with is that the Vidiots show up and they're like, "Dude, why didn't you call me?" And everybody's been getting along up until this point. And Jeff is like, "Sorry, dude, it's a private party. You can't be here." But it's everybody who's always at the arcade,
right?
Minus the Vidiots. Like the entire conflict practically could have been. Like averted if they just would have been nice and let the Vidiots stay.
Now hold on, let me back you up a little moment here. This whole thing could have been avoided if Jeff had remembered one other thing, because this is a big problem throughout the movie too. This is an issue like 2 or 3 other times. Jeff, when the arcade is closed, he can never remember to lock the goddamn door.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
everything. This whole movie wouldn't even have been an issue if he'd remembered to lock the door. As we find out later.
We should point out that he's really just kind of babysitting the place for the weekend. His grandfather actually owns it.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Grandfather doesn't know how to run a business.
Yeah, why? How did this young boy convince this old, old, old man to turn his warehouse into an arcade?
The 80s.
The 80s.
Let me get back to something else that I think is weird, is like in this scene.
Uh-huh.
Instead, okay, so this is where they set up the first... like confrontation between the Vidiots and like the other guys, and so they decide they're gonna play a video game, Dorfus against the King Vidiot.
Yeah.
And if the Vidiots win, they get to stay at the party. If Dorfus wins, they gotta leave, right?
Sure.
So they do this, and Dorfus just smokes him. Like, no problem.
Oh, he's eating hot dogs for most of the... He doesn't even touch the joystick.
He loses his first 2 lives.
Yeah, he gets down to his last life in the game and then just kicks the crap out of the Vidiot with 1 life. But Jeff lets them stay anyway.
Yeah,
he doesn't kick them out.
Yeah.
So really, like, what's the problem?
Hey, look, Vidiot, you can stay, but no trouble, promise.
Hey, man, a Vidiot never promises nothing to no one.
Okay, so I would like to also bring up the first of two exclusive world premiere video games within this movie.
Oh, yeah.
This game is Satan's Hollow. It was premiered in this movie from Namco. Like, this is where Namco was like, yeah, you can use the Pac-Man screen wipe. Obsessively. And also, here's this video game called Satan's Hollow.
Oh, so that's a real video game.
Everything in this was real. That stripper game is a real game.
Wow.
Which makes me wonder, like, if Nintendo was a little more lenient with Super Mario Brothers, if we'd get a totally different version of the wizard with boobs everywhere.
I think things just worked a little bit different in 1983.
Okay, so Joe Don Baker breaks up the PJ party because
he's Joe Don Baker.
Yeah,
that's it.
But this is kind of where at this point is where they decide they're going to try to blackmail Joe Don Baker. You know, commit a crime.
Yeah, he deserved it though.
Yeah, he did deserve it. It's fair enough.
He was in Mitchell. Deserves it.
He hires protesters to protest the arcade.
It's a spontaneous protest, though.
Yeah, of which are thwarted with a single quarter. Eugene offers them a quarter to play a video game, and they're like, fuck it, I don't care. All right, we'll play this. These protesters being bought off for a single quarter is what is the catalyst for the actual main conflict of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming over my favorite scene, too.
Well, and what is that?
I want some wheels.
There is foreshadowing about the Vidiot liking wheels.
Well, he beats up a little girl's bike.
Yeah, he doesn't like wheels as much as he says.
He gets mad. He gets mad because Jeff let these protesters in, and the King Vidiot thinks that that's like Jeff selling out.
Yeah, he's I don't want to play with all these old people.
That's a much better conflict than not letting him into the party, which he lets him into anyway.
Right, like, that could have just been not really a thing, but they kind of get into it, and the Vidiots leave, and that's when King Vidiot beats up a little girl's bike in the parking lot.
Pretty viciously, like, he manhandled that thing.
Get ready, maniacs, for the 5th annual 24-hour B-Movie Marathon. 16 of the best B-Movies, 24 hours in a row. The marathon kicks off Friday night, June 30th at 8 p.m. Central Time. And now, here's Mike Hayes with one of his marathon picks.
Night Flyers. Let me give you a little heads up on this. One review of the movie Night Flyers is, depending on your stomach for graphic violence, you might find this intriguing or repulsive. So, please love it. This is probably too long a commercial. Maybe Jay edits it. Maybe he doesn't. I don't really care.
8 scientists on an unauthorized mission.
Would you have come if you'd known the truth?
Aboard a possessed ship, controlling them.
If only we can communicate with them.
Watching them.
But he wants to hurt you.
Despising them. Night Flyers, from the award-winning science fiction author George R.R. Martin.
The 5th annual 24-hour B-Movie Marathon. Live, Friday, June 30th, 2017, 8 p.m. Central. To watch and interact with the B-Movie crew, go to www.bmoviemarathon.com.
We overlooked something that's very important, actually, because the only reason there was that previous conflict was simply to show off the way that they battle each other during very important conflicts.
That's
giant
true.
Joysticks.
Yeah.
Establish the method of video game battle.
Yeah, it's two giant TVs with these giant bowling ball size like joystick tab things that come from the floor. It's this big platform with lights and everything. It's very elaborate, and I can't imagine anything like that has ever existed in real life.
No,
not even on like a Nickelodeon game show.
You need to come over to my place, Mike, because that's the setup I've got right now.
I'll be right there. Fuck this podcast. I'm out.
I have a giant joystick though.
Oh boy.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so anyway, your favorite scene. What's this? Is it the scene where he gets the wheels or where he argues about the wheels?
Oh, it's the whole arguing, the whole meeting with Joe Don Baker.
Tell the listeners about it.
So Jodon Baker gives King Vidiot his business card, saying, hey, let's talk about how to get back at this arcade. The next scene, Vidiot comes sneaking in Jodon Baker's study. He just opens the window, and which is really, I guess, kind of a door window. Slide. I don't know what that was.
What the hell are you doing here?
You said you wanted to talk.
I'm in my office.
I don't like offices.
Why don't you use a door?
I don't like doors.
So they talk about this for a little bit, how to get back at Jeff in the arcade. And King Vidiot is willing to do whatever Jodon Baker wants in exchange for two things. His very own video game and some wheels.
Wheels.
And let's mention real quick before we leave this meeting scene that King Vidiot also apparently doesn't like plants.
Oh, yes.
Because he eats one.
Yes.
He crawls across the couch and just, like, picks up a plant, looks at it, then just bites it hard.
Like a T-Rex. Like, he just lays into this plant.
Well, I mean, he's probably a vegetarian. He's a punk kid from the early 80s, and he's making a stand against the establishment and the abuse of farm animals. So he's obviously hungry, and, you know, he's a bit peckish right there.
See, I just wonder how much of this was actually planned out ahead of time, because when they make the deal, King Vidiot, he just goes into this full-on seizure, and Jodon Baker just, like, not the character Mr. Rudder, Jodon Baker himself looks pretty freaked out. Like, did he expect him to go into the seizure? Like, what is happening in the scene?
Then we see his wheels, though. We do get to see the wheels gifted to him and all of the Vidiots.
They all get wheels.
How do you describe those? They're miniature motorcycles?
They're like sized for a 3-year-old.
Yeah. And not only do you see the gang coming down the road making their little Pac-Man noises, but it cuts to them fucking riding them into the arcade, and I laughed so hard when that happened. They just come around the corner in the arcade riding their fucking tiny bikes. It's so good.
Hello, operator. Quick, give me the police. This is an emergency.
This is about where shit happens and they get taken to court, and there's a courtroom scene battle.
It's not even really a courtroom battle. It's played out as a courtroom battle, but it's like
the
city
mayor
council
calls
thing.
A meeting.
And, yeah.
And this is where Jodon Baker goes on and describes the filth and the decadence that is commonly referred to as video game entertainment.
Fortunately, here in River City, the problem is isolated, though no less threatening. The trouble right here in River City is Bailey's Video Arcade.
Yeah, all right.
For some reason, they use that Pac-Man wipe about 50 times in this goddamn room.
For every witness.
They were like, hey, we got the rights to it. We're going to use it.
At some point, Jodon Baker paints the picture for the audience of this town hall meeting of what the arcade is like. And if you would please enlist your. Why don't we all go around and mention some of our favorite parts of it? Let's, like, Chris, Jay, then Paul. Let's do this.
Well, I've already mentioned the mud wrestling, but Jeff is there holding the two topless girls again, topless in every scene, holding them with what, like chains holding them by chains.
They're like dominatrixes or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Jay, what did you like?
Yeah, I was gonna say the mud wrestling actually.
Yeah. What about you, Paul?
The courtroom scene, favorite part?
Well, in that sequence, that dream
that
sequence.
The whole thing, probably when it was over with. I'm like, oh, I'm trying to get through this movie. The last thing I need is a courtroom-like spinoff.
My favorite part of that evil view of that dream sequence, though, was it pans over to Eugene, and he's dressed up all studly and kind of punky, and he's like making out with topless women. But there is a sign shaped like a dick that says, Progenator, the sperm giver.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. I didn't notice that. Damn it, I gotta watch this again.
Yeah. You gotta watch it again.
Then Jeff gives the exact opposite view of it when it's his turn to testify. It's like this, it's like practically at the pearly gates with everyone's in white flowing robes and practically wearing halos. Even Dorfus, he's talking to a priest.
He does a maneuver and does tell the priest, thou who smelt it first, dealt it first.
Kids play with their joysticks day in and day out, jerking back and forth, sweating on them, and they don't even clean them off when they're through. Their joysticks are a hotbed of germs. Germs!
Well, you got to mention the nurse. You got to mention the nurse and all her innuendo.
Joysticks are a hotbed of germs. Germs!
Ah, lots of sexual innuendo right there.
What's that? What was that, Paul? What is that? I'm sorry, did you do research on this too?
I did a little bit of research, and it turns out that, well, the nurse thought that she was talking about, like, video game germs, but everyone else in the courtroom took it to mean that she was talking about dick. penis. It's a double meaning.
They do another game off, and so they, now they get, they're going to do the same thing they did with the video before with the big displays, and also with another exclusive game from Namco, world premiere, Super Pac-Man.
I played it.
So, Jay, what is the agreement that they have for this final showdown?
It's going to be Jeff's guy against Jodan Baker's guy. It's going to be Dorfus versus King Vidiot, round two. And if King Vidiot wins, Jeff shuts down the arcade. And if Jeff wins, Jodan Baker can't give him any more crap about the arcade ever again.
Yeah, it's one of those classic agreements where one of them makes sense and the other side is just like, but you're just agreeing not to be a dick anymore.
Right, like it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
But things get complicated because then Dorfus goes missing when the nephews kidnap him.
Yep. Which we don't know about at first. He just goes missing.
Yeah.
Right, they just can't find him. And then I think Eugene has to go find him or try to find him.
Yeah. So instead, the agreement comes that Jeff's gonna play a video game again.
Which made no sense to me. That would be like if your star quarterback got injured and so you put the coach in the game instead.
But no. Yeah. Hey, they explained it though. Jeff used to be really, really great at video games.
Right. Like in Act 3, we start to get Jeff's backstory.
Everything was wonderful until I looked into a video screen and there was the reflection of her father. Eugene, it was awful.
It is the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard.
What, you think banging your girlfriend in an arcade is unbelievable, Paul?
All right, fine. I'll just say it so that we can get through it quickly. He decides that him and his girlfriend are going to do it for the first time. It's both of their very first times. And they're in the arcade. They got like candles lit and shit. It's late at night or whatever.
There's so many candles. So many candles.
I'm surprised there's like the place didn't burn down.
About to be penetration when he looks into the reflection of a video arcade machine and sees his girlfriend's dad like angrily staring at him. Right? Do I have that right?
Lock the damn door. Don't let any people in.
Yeah, really. Like, how did he get in? If it's clearly they were closed, I would hope.
Well, they weren't closed.
Probably
though.
Not.
And so then he gets like somehow traumatized from that. I don't know. Like, I'll never play video games again.
Wait, did you say when about the dad coming into the room?
Yeah, the dad actually came in the room and like slapped her around a bit. It was really abusive and scary. It was a very, very strong and powerful scene. It was very emotionally.
Yeah,
you know,
and so when every time Jeff looks into a video game screen, he sees that man slapping his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, like it's pretty fucked up. Also, within this scene is just a ton of close-ups of boobs. Just like super close-up boobs. Extreme close-ups of boobs.
And male nipples.
Which was kind of all throughout
male the movie.
Male boobs. Yeah, and man nips. He was ranking for both, by the way. Don't forget.
And so, thankfully, through Eugene's training, he gets him, like, Eugene's reading game strategy manuals while Jeff is literally doing push-ups. And somehow that combination works, and Jeff gets himself psyched up again.
In 15 minutes.
Yeah. Right beforehand, Jeff kind of starts to lose it again a little bit.
I have to say, though, this leads up to one of my favorite expressions, what that King Vidiot does. Because Jeff is kind of starting to lose it playing Super Pac, and Super Pac-Man is Vidiot's game. Like, he is the king.
Yes, King Vidiot, Chris. You can call him Your Highness.
Okay, Your Highness. his Highness, along with his subjects, is the king of Super Pac-Man. And he gets so far ahead that at some point, Jodan Baker comes up and gives him, like, a high five. And King Vidiot just looks so disgusted, and he just walks away. I thought he just quit the game because Jodan Baker high-fived him.
Well, here, can we build this climax properly? Like, The mayor shows up during the game, and Eugene starts to let him play, right? And the mayor starts to get hooked. And then as Jeff is afraid he's going to lose it all, we hear a fart ripple through the crowd.
Yeah, but wait. Back up. Back the fuck up.
Well, we got to... Yes, okay. We got to get Dorfus free first.
Yeah, because how did Dorfus get free?
Well, because Jodan Baker's wife tried to hump him all over the room.
Yeah, but... He is laying down there tied up in whatever room he's in, and he lets out a Dorfus maneuver. She hears it or smells it, one of the two, and comes running down the stairs and, like, then tries to fuck him.
Oh, my prayers have been answered.
He agrees. The way he gets out of it, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is that he promises to come back with his friends.
An orgy, basically. Like,
they'll all bang her.
Some of which, as hard as it is to believe, some of which are better even than he is.
Yeah.
So she frees him. Then he goes to the arcade to try to save Jeff.
And he, when he makes his entrance, it's the exact same thing as Stone Cold Steve Austin's music hitting. When that glass shatters, you know it's him. When you hear that Dorfus maneuver, you know who's in the building. Everyone turns around.
And so you'd think that since the deal was that Dorfus was supposed to do the challenge, he can take over for Jeff, right?
Well, he
can. That was the idea.
He can, yeah.
But Eugene has a better idea.
What's that?
Oh, make Jeff go through with it. Get pushed through his fears and beat King Vidiot at his own game.
He has to, basically. Jeff has to see this through in order to get over his trauma.
Eugene's looking for the deeper purpose in all of this.
Yeah, Eugene's back to being a fucking buzzkill.
But fortunately, Jeff pulls through.
That's true. Jeff does.
Well, because King Vidiot just walks away. Like Chris said, he walks away and he's just like, there's no way he'll catch up.
And then effectively the movie ends within like a minute 30.
Yeah, it all goes pretty quick from there.
Grandpa shows back up with a hot nurse. He makes a weird, creepy grandpa joke about getting Eugene laid.
He brings Sandy back. He brings back Jeff's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Who, by the way, has no lines. She just looks at Jeff, and they're happy.
She's a playmate or something like that, if I remember right.
And she was naked. And she was naked in that flashback where we learned Jeff's backstory. I mean,
it's true. But the scene Paul hated.
I think all the wounds on her face healed.
Yeah,
so she was okay.
Grandpa actually makes a joke about he tells Dorfus, "Hey, tell your friend here that this nurse is taken," and then he like feels her up. And then Dorfus says, but Grandpa, he's got a condition. And Gramps says,
well, hell, that's obvious. Somebody got to get this boy laid.
That's it. Almost the end.
They One get him scene. A dominatrix outfitted Jodan Baker wife.
Seriously, I think she was playing the Baroness in that last scene.
Yeah, I was just going to say, pretty close.
We bookend it with Simba.
Oh, yeah, Simba, yeah. Yeah, he's going to show her Simba.
Which, Paul, you did some research, right, to exactly know what Simba is?
Yeah, I did some research on that, and it is an African term for penis, which means that the Lion King borrowed this terminology from joysticks, so Simba is actually King Penis. Paul, cut that part out.
Rating time!
All right, guys. Well, why don't we get into ratings here?
Drinking rules.
No,
sorry, wrong segment.
Okay, guys. Well, why don't we go ahead and rate this between 1 and 100 Dorfus maneuvers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, Paul, since you understand, why don't you go first?
You know, it's very interesting to me, and even as we're talking about this, I'm having a little bit of a tough time with it. It kind of gets under your skin a little bit, and we're sitting around talking about it, laughing a lot. So I'm going to go 55 Dorfus maneuvers.
Very nice. Hudson, what about you?
You know, I basically watched this movie by myself and enjoyed the shit out of it. I thought this was a really fun movie. It would be a lot of fun to watch with friends. I drank a little. Well, you know, I'm not going to hide that. But it was a lot of fun. This may be my favorite movie that we've covered for this podcast.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm going to give it 90 Dorfus maneuvers.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's a lot of wet farts. Whoa.
I didn't think I'd enjoy this movie going in. I had pretty low expectations, and it blew all of them away. And then King Vidiot comes along, and it's just, oh, this movie's amazing.
Maybe it's the type of thing where, like, there's a handful of movies that I have watched once, and I'm like, eh, okay, whatever, I get it. But maybe it's the sort of thing where if you watch it a third, fourth, fifth time, you kind of start to get into those little subtle cracks of the movie, and maybe it gets better and better. Who knows?
Jay?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I feel the same way. Like, I watched it, and I was just kind of like, meh. Like, it really didn't do a lot for me. But yeah, you know, talking about it again, it seems like it's a little bit more fun than what I remember. So I would recommend watching it with friends and booze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not going to rate it super high. I think I was a little disappointed that Joe Don Baker wasn't fun Joe Don Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Though I really liked King Vidiot and the Vidiots. I thought that was cool. I would have liked more of that kind of thing, like more kind of craziness. So I actually have it in my notes as well for a 55.
Hmm. Okay.
I see. Well, I can attest that if you watch it more than once, I did pick up on more stuff. That's where I noticed that, what was the sign called? The preganator, the sperm giver sign, and stuff like that. I watched it last night and again tonight, and I had more fun the second time watching it, because I think, yeah, you're kind of looking at the surface of this movie, and you're trying to see what's going on. It kind of sags a bit with the court scene, and the little bit, it's kind of a little saggy. But I had a lot of fun, especially the second time watching it. I'm going to give it, I think, a very understandable 69.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it does have a good built-in drinking game.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there is some rewatch value in there.
Well, guys, thank you for watching this with me. I had a lot of fun. But I think it's time to move on and move past joysticks and find out from Mr. Chris Hudson what's happening next week.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania...
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania...
It's got mustaches, it's got snake slapping, and it's got a jean jacket-wearing dude named Lando. If you've ever wanted to know how a throwdown with the Prince of Darkness would go down, you gotta watch the 1983 Filipino movie, The Killing of Satan.
Oh my god. What?
So the full movie's on YouTube, so catch it there before it disappears, like any hope of sanity from the first 10 minutes of this film. I mean, I had to buy the DVD because it looks just fucking amazing.
Do you think they go into Satan's Hollow?
Oh, I bet they
do. Ooh, I hope so.
With some giant joysticks.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydy? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They are touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!